From the Over the Top Studios in Boulder, Colorado, I'm George Thomas, and you're listening to First Chair, PSIA Northwest, Ozzy, and our guest this evening, Kim Petrum. Kim, you have too long of a title for a 54-year-old man to remember it. What exactly are you?
What am I? I am the Education Vice President for PSI Northwest, and as well, I'm one of the Alpine examiners on the divisional staff, and I am responsible for the children and senior specialist programs.
Always love interviewing you. And tonight we're really going to focus on teaching kids and also preparing for your child specialist certifications, correct?
Yes, sounds good.
So with kids, it seemed like when I started out in ski school years and years ago, you were a new hire, you got the kids. How has that changed?
That's a really good question, George, because it has changed. I think culturally for a long time it was kind of a pecking order, right? Of sort of a hierarchy of you're new, so you get the new students. And then when you gain a little bit of experience or some certification level, that's the only pathway to having upper-end classes or maybe multi-week classes or whatever the carrot is for that particular school. And I think we've really learned our lesson over time that the new student, and especially a child, is probably the most complex of students to teach, an inexperienced child that doesn't have a history of sliding on snow. And we really need our most masterful instructors teaching that population. And probably not necessarily everyone, because we do have that conundrum then of putting an entire new instructor staff with experienced students, which has an equal set of complications. But I think a good mix of any brand new student learning area, your flatland area, wherever it is that you do your new student teaching, if there's a nice mix of some experienced, seasoned children's instructors managing their classes along with some inexperienced novice instructors managing their classes, there's a lot of growth and symbiotic relationships that can develop. And that new instructor is going to see a seasoned instructor doing something and is going to gain and learn a lot from that.
Now, I know when I'm speaking with children, I actually have a lot of similarity between my kids' lessons and my adult lessons because I don't like using technical terms with any age. And I really like for skiing to be fun and playful.
Yeah. That's why I like you, George.
Okay.
Skiing should be, it is skiing. You know, sometimes we take it so darn seriously and make it so complicated, and it should be fun. It is play. And I agree with you. I don't necessarily think we need to use made-up terms just because you're teaching a certain population. Kids can understand the word wedge just as easily as they can understand the word pizza. And you can talk to them about technical terms like steering or pressure. We still have to put it into language or put those words into a relationship that they understand, but there's no reason that we can't just give them the real power and the real information right out of the gate instead of trying to mask it because we think it might be too complicated for them to understand.
Now, as a child specialist, as a trainer at the resort where I work, you know, I look at when we're doing our training, you've got a student there, but you've got a couple of different goals because you have the goals of the parents and what they want to see their child doing. But then you have the child who's taking the lesson from you and they have their own goals. So how do you work with an instructor to get them to achieve both of those?
That can be challenging. That's often one of the main things that that instructors coming to take a children's specialist event want more information on, that child-parent dynamic and relationship. I think the CAT model is always a good tool to fall back upon because it's just so relevant to all ages. And, of course, the CAT model is cognitive, affective, and physical, and the affective part is important. That's where you're trying to figure out for the child, it's what are their goals? What do they view as being achievable? What is it that they want? Are they there to ski with their friends? Are they trying to gain some sort of bragging rights? Is there a competition in the family over who can be best? You know, how did they even get there? Did their parents put them on a bus so the parent isn't literally there but wants a written report or a phone call? Or, you know, are the parents hovering and won't disappear? That's all part of that child's effective assessment that the instructor needs to do. And then take that and hold it up to the light and put it in context next to what the parent needs or the perceived needs of the parent. And the only way to get to that is to just outright ask the parent, you know, how can I help you today? What is it that you need from me so that you feel like your child can be successful? And before they answer that question, it's okay to say, because I've already talked to John, and this is what he told me he wants out of this lesson. And then give the parent an opportunity to add anything in.
Now, can you walk us through a little bit what it's like to go through the CS1, CS2? What's the best way for an instructor to prepare themselves for those exams?
Well, the really cool thing about the children's specialist and actually all of our specialist events, the freestyle specialist credential, is both the children and freestyle credentials are not technically exams. They're assessment-based credentials. It's a certificate program. So it's not purely an exam. There is definitely an assessment that happens, and there has to be a written quiz that's completed successfully and a workbook that's completed prior to taking a children's one or two event. But there, the strong element that differentiates a credential from an exam is that there is a high, high educational component to any CS one or two event. Whereas in an exam, it is literally that, an exam. You're there just to demonstrate what you know and whether or not you meet the national standards for that exam, whether it's a certification 1, 2, or 3 in your discipline. So I think what is most helpful to an instructor who's preparing, especially for a children's CS1 event, is to read the manual. First of all, get their hands on the manual. It's an easy read. It's not the print is large. It looks like a daunting manual until you open it up and start reading. And you can, the awesome thing about it is that you can read it, you know, front to back, or you can jump into any particular chapter and read it. And probably read it more than once. I think the biggest element to being successful achieving a credential is to put some time into the upfront process, the process that happens before you even get there on the snow to meet your clinician and your fellow peers that have signed up for the event. So the workbooks are designed for the CS1 to kind of force the person, the participant, to read through the manual in a lot of different ways. Most are successful reading it through at least once, just front to back, to get a sense of it. And then when you go into the workbook and start answering the questions and looking for the information, the CS1 is that workbook is driven to get the person to look for the information. So you end up, you know, doing that thing where you're flipping all over the book. You know, it's like, oh, I know I saw this piece of information. Where was it? I think it's here. And you're scanning. As you're working through the workbook, you realize, okay, now I know I saw the answer to this question because I was looking for the answer to that other question, and I saw the answer to this one. And that process alone goes a long way to help someone to start remembering the language, and putting into context some of the science behind the curriculum.
Now, with the CS1, you're actually there as an examiner. Examiner seems like the wrong word because, as you said, this really isn't an exam. But you're there to, you want to see people achieve this certification, correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah, we are the clinicians. We do have an examining hat on in the sense that there is an assessment component, but you have at least 2 days, if not three, depending on what division you're taking the event at, to really develop the participants. And I'm speaking now as the clinician, as the leader of an event, to look for holes. Where is there a gap in understanding or knowledge? Where is the strength at? To make sure that folks can come out successful at the end, that they've, if there were any misunderstandings or misconceptions, that they've had an opportunity to explore it deeper. Usually if one person has a misunderstanding, often others in the group do as well, so you can spend some time, you know, going down that rabbit path and helping everyone have just a higher level of awareness and an understanding moving away. And that's really the goal. You want a person that wears a CS1 or CS2 pin on their jacket to not just have sort of bagged another pin, right, in that unending quest of trying to capture certificates and certifications, but also just to really be a better instructor, to have a, say, yeah, I'm credentialed in this particular aspect because I know the information and I can apply it back to the clients in a way that's reliable.
Now, can you kind of explain the difference between the CS1 and CS2?
Sure. The CS1, well, both credentials, and this is the same for freestyle as well because it is also a national standard, is they're both based on Bloom's taxonomy for levels of understanding, just like the certifications are. So a CS1, you're looking at more understanding and a comprehensive level of all the terminology and the words and the literature and the criteria that we cite, the scientists that we cite, the movement patterns that we cite. So it's not quite as deep, but it's very, very broad. By the time you get to the CS2, you're responsible now for all age groups, all levels of skiing or riding up to, level 9 riders, all terrain types and variations, and a deeper understanding of the science and curriculum behind everything. So it shifts definitely from maybe a little more education-centric and the clinician delivering a lot of educational content to make sure that the CS1 participant has that broad yet maybe not very deep level of understanding. But by the two, you really want to see that the participant can manage the content, a little more emphasis on their teaching skill, their delivery, the depth of their knowledge, their ability to explain some of the differences and nuances of the CAT model and how we support that model with all of the research and the scientists that we cite, Kohlberg and Piaget and Erickson and others.
Now, what's the difference for you as a clinician or examiner between an exam weekend or one of the specialist certification weekends?
That is another good question, George. It's important to, I think, for all of us clinicians to be very intentional about knowing who the audience is. And not that exams can't be fun, because sometimes they are, but it's not as participative. I'm an examiner, so I am examining. I'm a viewer. I ask questions when I need clarification, but I'm not participating. I'm not guiding. You certainly want to set anyone up for success in an exam, and there are ways to do that, but there is not a real educational process going on. So for a CS event, being clear about the difference between a 1 and a 2, and then managing the day so that everyone has an opportunity to be successful, and looking for those, you know, because we do get the workbook ahead of time. Workbooks need to be completed before 2 weeks before the events occur, which allows the clinicians to have opportunity to read what the participants have been writing. We walk in already with a general sense of where that person's skill set is at, which helps you also manage the time on the snow and in the indoor components to meet the needs and meet them where they're coming from and help them grow. It's kind of interesting in that I think we can apply the CAT model to instructors that are trying to go through this educational journey and are seeking credentialing and validation in a CS1 or a CS2. The same model applies, right? I need to be able to look at that participant, that instructor's cognitive set and their affective set and their physical set. And just like kids, from the affective component, it's like, why are they here? What is their motivation? What are they trying to get out of this credential? Is it just like a kid, you know, kids, they just want bragging rights, they just want the pin? Are they trying to make more money so that they can sustain themselves as being an instructor? Are they looking for personal development? You know, what is it about their affective side that has them there in front of you?
Well, sounds like you would highly recommend people get their CS1, CS2. Anything else you want to add, Kim?
Well, I was just sharing, I think that folks might enjoy watching a really short video that you can find on YouTube. It's called Girls First Ski Jump, and you have to turn up the volume to hear this little girl speaking, and it's a super short 2 or 3 minute video clip. But it really speaks to, I think, motivations and why it is that we do what we're doing in this snow sport industry. It's really awesome, and I think it helps put into perspective what it is that you as an instructor might be trying to get out of being an instructor, and why it is that you want to have some credentialing and some, you know, an award, a validation of who you are as a skilled instructor by pursuing a children's specialist credential. It's quite an exciting little video clip, and I think it just sums up everything great about our sport.
Girls First Ski Jump.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to look that up.
Yeah. Well,
Kim Petrum, thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to speaking with you again in the very near future.
You're welcome. Thank you, George.
From the Over the Top Studios in Boulder, Colorado, you've been listening to First Chair, PSA Aussie Northwest. I'm George Thomas.